you in the 06010.
Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy.
You in the 06010.
Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Tuesday, September 29th, Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, and Kyle Soppy sitting in for Daniel Dopp today. Kyle will do an esteemable job, as he always does. We had a game.
What does esteemable mean?
I think it means like excellent.
Do you think it means that? Or
I'm not the brain here, okay? I didn't go to an I just
I'm
went
obviously here for my good looks. Stefania, does that mean, Stefania, you went to many.
Did I make that word up, Stefania? I mean, I think the intent.
You went to Princeton.
Yeah.
Stop.
You're brainy.
I missed. I wasn't listening to you two.
All right, but it's probably for the best, Stefania.
It's probably for the best. He said Kyle
fifth.
Will do an esteemable job.
I made
is that a word?
Up.
Is esteemable a word?
Worthy of esteem.
Yeah, I believe esteemable is a word. I think it is. You're taking esteem and you're making an adverb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's what or I was adjective.
So Kyle says worthy of esteem.
Yeah. Adjective.
That's the
is
definition
what I meant.
On your dictionary.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not listening to you guys yet.
But that's a word. It's a real word.
Yeah.
That was
it is
good
a word.
Right there. All right. Now we're going to get to last night's game and so much more because we do have a bunch of news. But first, a little bit of housekeeping. And we had a really fun time last week during our virtual live show Mailbag Spectacular. So we're going to do it again. One more time. If you didn't snag a seat last time, and let's be honest, maybe you had so much fun, you just want to do it again.
Yep.
Join us on Tuesday, October 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for our second and final virtual live podcast presented by Geico and Marathon. You can once again submit questions when you register for a chance to have us answer your questions about our favorite breakfast foods, longstanding nicknames, your fantasy lineup, maybe, for
whatever you
want
to know.
Really, whatever you want.
It's a live AMA. Is what
That's
it
right.
is.
That's right, yeah.
It's a live AMA.
The more nonsense, the better.
The more nonsense, the better, but it is just, it's the four of us hanging out. It's a lot of fun.
Yep.
It's a private show, but it's live, and so it's a chance to see us the way we are here, but we're interacting. It's more interactive. And
it's also free, which is sweet. But as you learned last time.
But limited space.
Space is limited, and we hit maximum capacity last night. And if you want to join us, first of all, act fast. Second of all, go to bit.ly/fantasyfocusedfootball20. That's all lowercase, and do it starting today. Again, that's bit.ly/fantasyfocusedfootball20, the number. Again, all lowercase. To join us for a fun evening, hanging out with all of us here at the 06010. The Fantasy Focus Football virtual events are presented by Geico, and Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. And Marathon, fueling the American spirit. The Chiefs took care of business last night, 34-20. The game was incredibly well hyped, and it was still a joy and a blast to watch, Matthew. Didn't quite live up to the hype, though. Let's just be frank.
Well, I mean,
you know why?
The under hit, right? I mean, you and I both took
54.5, and it was 54.
All right, exactly. It's
brutal.
Unbelievable.
Brutal.
Yeah, bad beat.
We sat there yesterday just mocking those who would ever take the under.
I know.
How dare you take the under?
Under hit.
Daniel did.
Daniel did. That's right. He also picked the Ravens. He was the one contrarian there.
Right. But we thought the Chiefs would cover. They did. Congratulations to them. We also did think the over would hit, and it did not.
And part of the reason why is that Patrick Mahomes has a chance. He's got a chance. I think he's going to make it in this league.
Hashtag analysis right there. I just like the throw. I tweeted out the video. The throw that he made. I mean, and he was ridiculous. He was absolutely brilliant last night. But the throw he made to Tyreek Hill for the touchdown, Tyreek Hill, was such a thing of beauty. Like, and
that
just
was better than the Mecole Hardman one, in your opinion? I thought the Hardman one was even better.
Yeah, I don't know. I think just because he was going off of his back foot, and it seemed so effortless.
Yeah.
And it obviously isn't.
They all do.
I know, but it just seemed so, I don't know.
So all of it is something.
All of it is, anyway, so.
You did something different here because Mahomes finishes with 40 fantasy points.
Right.
I believe his career high, by the way, in a single game. 385 passing yards with 4 passing touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown just for good measure. And there's really not much analysis to give other than the fact that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, and right now it doesn't feel particularly close. Well, you know what? Let me bite my tongue a little bit.
Russell Mr. Wilson Unlimited fans got, is... Russell Wilson fans going, what has my guy got to do? Yeah,
that's right. Sorry about that, Russell Wilson. But Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. And Matthew, you wanted to play a little bit of a word game.
I just said, you know, because I was like, I'm like, so here's the thing. Like, I'm thinking last night as we're watching this, because I know we're going to talk about the game today. And I'm like, what am I going to say about Patrick Mahomes that you don't know, that you haven't, right? The guy's awesome. He's brilliant. He's amazing. He's incredible. And then I thought, well, he's astonishing. Field. He's astounding.
Right.
He's stunning. He's staggering.
He's stupefying and sensational and phenomenal and incredible. What else?
Breathtaking, extraordinary, remarkable, marvelous, incredible, phenomenal, wonderful, exciting, flabbergasting, dumbfounding.
Wow.
Got over there.
Are there any more here on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spectacular, unbelievable, spectacular. Miraculous.
Sorry, you're sort of
balls.
Jumping around. Bill Belichick said it well this morning. Bill Belichick was asked about him as the Patriots, of course, play the Chiefs on Sunday. Mike Reese asked him, what are your thoughts on Patrick Mahomes? And Bill Belichick said, basically, you know what? All the superlatives have been thrown out there so far, so I'd just be repeating what others have said accurately.
And I don't think amazeballs has been thrown out there yet, but we are now throwing it out there, Bill Belichick, so you can feel free to repeat amazeballs. But yeah, we have now run out of superlatives to describe Patrick Mahomes. Yep. He is amazing, incredible, and you know all that in a bag of chips. My question to you, Field Minister Yates, here is if you had Patrick Mahomes in a standard 10-team, one quarterback league.
Trading him, is what you're asking me?
Yeah. Would you trade him? And if so, what would it require? What would you want to get for Patrick Mahomes?
Probably an RB1, because the idea would be that somebody would be silly enough to try to trade for Patrick Mahomes right now, be the apex of his value, a career high 40 fantasy points. So I would be thinking something along the lines of an elite running back or wide receiver, because I know how these trades work, Matthew. I would not be trading my number one wide receiver or running back for Patrick Mahomes right now, but I understand that if someone's motivated to get Mahomes right now, they're enamored by last night and they're willing to pay the premium. It's not going to happen though.
Yeah, I mean, but like if somebody were to offer you Lamar Jackson and something for Mahomes off of last night, would you do that?
Of course, Matthew. Yeah. I mean, look at the past 2 weeks,
right?
Right,
of course.
Like, Mahomes
I'm just saying,
is amazing.
Fantasy football often is emotional and reactionary.
Totally.
And you saw that game last night, and Jackson had a bad game, and Mahomes was brilliant. And you just sort of like, you know what I mean? Like, if somebody offered you Josh Allen and a running back, like a starting usable running back, from Mahomes, are you doing that deal?
Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Of course. So just maybe test the waters there.
If you have
somebody that rosters Patrick Mahomes that maybe you think you could potentially, or excuse me, if you roster Patrick Mahomes, you could sort of push him away to somebody who might be a little bit desperate. Let's move forward though, because it's Patrick Mahomes,
right,
dude. Just pass along, honestly, with the Chiefs though, like in a lot of cases, the analysis is sort of just like, here are the numbers, get ready to start them again next week. I thought another solid effort from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I think as we look back and we're almost a quarter of the way through the season, Matthew, like he was probably appropriately ranked going into the season, somewhere between like 7 and 10 on your fantasy board. I think if we redid the drafts right now, I think you'd be asking for Clyde Edwards-Helaire somewhere in that 7 to 10 range, right?
I think maybe a little bit higher, just
really?
Because there's been but I mean like
Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott,
right?
Derrick Henry, taking him over any of those guys?
No, and Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook ahead of him as well.
Austin Eckler, yes or no?
No, I'd still have Helaire over
him. Okay, so
there's
at
six. Five.
Yeah, so already at six, right? So I said, like, that's five without even blinking.
Saying,
right.
I'm saying
Aaron Jones, him or no?
Oh, yeah, I'd probably have Aaron Jones ahead of him. But
so,
I mean, so it's like
seven.
Six. Right, it's seven. Right. I was saying he's slightly higher than 7 to 10, but I see what you mean. Like,
he's
but he's right there.
That's what I'm saying. Is that before
six
the season?
I think it's a conversation with him and Aaron Jones. I think that's a conversation.
Okay, so it's a conversation. So going into the year, we said somewhere between 6 to 10.
Correct.
A quarter of the way through the season, he's about 6 through 10, and we'll see how things, you know, again, the workload's pretty solid. Got a little bit more passing game volume last night. Did not find the end zone, but of course, good things happen in that offense. Tyreek Hill, the only player so far this year with a receiving touchdown and 5 catches in all three weeks.
You remember that year the Chiefs couldn't throw a touchdown to a wide receiver?
It was amazing.
I think it was an Alex Smith year.
I think it was the penultimate year of Alex Smith's
tenure
with the Chiefs.
Right, it was the second year, right.
That was a wow.
But just how crazy that was.
That,
like, they literally couldn't throw a touchdown to a wide receiver here. Tyreek Hill was awesome. The only thing I would caution against about the Chiefs last night, you know, Mecole Hardman, box scores wise, really nice game, obviously, you know, 4 for 81 in the touchdown on 6 targets, played less than 30 snaps in this game. Just, he's a part-time player, and when it hits, it hits, but it just, he's not ready for fantasy stardom yet.
bottom line is the Chiefs have four guys you lock it in with.
Right.
Mahomes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Tyreek Hill, and obviously Travis Kelce. He's on pace for a career-high 112 receptions. That guy is just phenomenal. Let's get to the Ravens, Matthew, because there might actually be some content to create out of this Ravens offense, because Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense was all out of sorts. This was deja vu from the playoff game against the Titans last year, as Lamar Jackson conceded after the game that the Chiefs are the Ravens' kryptonite and that the Chiefs followed the Titans' blueprint from that playoff game last year. There are all kinds of damning stats about how the Ravens have performed when falling down by 10-plus points since Lamar became the starter, but that's not going to happen frequently, so better days are ahead. But this was Lamar's worst fantasy game since Week 5 of 2019. And I think if you have Lamar, Matthew, you have one of two options here. One is I think you only have one option. You probably ride it out, right? Like, it's going to be much better. On the worst day of his fantasy season, perhaps this year, he had 14.2 fantasy points, right? Like, if that's the worst it gets for Lamar Jackson, it reminds you of why his floor is still remarkably high. I think this maybe is reflective of the conversation that we had going into the season, that he was being drafted in the beginning of a second round in 10-team leagues. Like, it's rare that you pay the premium on quarterbacks and it's actually worth the while.
But I actually don't mind making an offer to somebody that has Lamar Jackson in your league. You know what I mean? Like, somebody might be, again, like, if the person who has Lamar Jackson in your league is 0-3, is 1-2, and sitting there panicking a little bit after last night, make an offer.
Yeah.
See what you, like, you might be able to get Jackson for below market value. And if that were the case, you know, I would absolutely do this. I mean, the Ravens play my Washington professional football team next week.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, like, does Lamar Jackson put up 50 in the first half?
Maybe.
Washington, by the way, lost one of their best defensive linemen yesterday. Right, exactly. That's a huge loss for that line there. We don't know yet about if Chase Young's going to miss the game here. Like, so the Washington defense, which secondary was already struggling, now the D-line is banged up, and now you've got an angry Ravens team. Like, I mean, I just, like, it's going to be a long season for us in Washington. But,
you know, I thought it was incredible respect shown by the Ravens last night to ensure that Jerick McKinnon would not finish as a top 25 running back. Actually, no, they did the exact opposite. That's right. Mark Ingram last night. How about this? Mark Ingram, 3 fantasy points. J.K. Dobbins actually had 8.4 fantasy points. Gus Edwards had 10 carries last night. This sounds remarkable. This is just a truly remarkable question to even ask, Matthew, for a team that set the NFL single season rushing yardage mark in 2019. And of course, Lamar Jackson was a huge part of that. Is there a single Ravens running back that you can play right now?
No, and you know what I'm going to do, Field Yates? I'm going to do something now that I don't think has been done in fantasy football analysis history.
Victory lap?
No. I did that yesterday, and quite well, I think. America seemed to love it there on the internet. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to simultaneously take a W and an L.
Oh.
Because I was a fader of Mark Ingram in the preseason because I was so high on J.K. Dobbins. And I'm clearly, listen, this is going to be a committee, and I think Dobbins is the better player already, you know. And so I was down on Ingram, and I had him ranked, you know, significantly lower than consensus. So I think I get a W on Mark Ingram through 3 weeks. Having said that, I think I also take a massive L on J.K. Dobbins because my whole reasoning for Ingram was entirely because of Dobbins, and I have a ton of shares of Dobbins across all of my leagues because I'm like, this guy is special. Imagine if he becomes the lead running back of this offense, just what he could do. He's a true three-down back, and the fact of the matter is that Gus Edwards isn't going away, and he's in there just enough to be annoying to fantasy managers and effective for the Ravens. I mean, he had down the stretch when they were trying to make that last drive to make it a game, to bring it within one score, Edwards is the one who had the big run towards the end.
Yeah.
Edwards was the guy who was in, and so I want to take a win on fading Ingram and a big L on pumping up Dobbins
but
here.
You know what also makes us annoying?
Yeah.
Is here's how the analysis is going to unfold for us, right? Is we're going to tell you that you cannot trust a Ravens running back until you see it, right? You're going to have to wait to see it before you actually put them back in your lineup. And then what's going to happen is the first week that we do that, which will probably be this week, one of these three running backs, probably J.K. Dobbins or Mark Ingram, is going to have 31 fantasy points. And then we're going to say, why do we not recommend that guy this week? That's how this works, right? That's how this works.
Well, so this is interesting because I actually got into a whole conversation on Twitter yesterday with Pat Thorman, our friend Pat Thorman, who does a great job. And I really like Pat. Like, so anytime you have a conversation on Twitter, everyone's just like all of a sudden the popcorn gifts. And you're like, I'm just I'm having a conversation with a buddy of mine that I respect. Like, I'm in a multiple leagues with Pat. Anyway, Pat does a great job. But anyway, we were going back and forth on James Conner, and the conversation was just about the idea here is that it's not just to know, it's not just about a player performing well. It's about knowing when to start that player. And my argument about James Conner, we don't have to get into a whole James Conner discussion, but my argument about James Conner is that so far you're 1 for 3 if you were a pro James Conner fan, because he killed you in week one. I would argue that a lot of people didn't start him in week two because there were a lot of reports out of Pittsburgh and national reporters as well that it was going to be a running back by committee in week two, and people were concerned about Benny Snell in week two. And, you know, does he get hurt again? And then, so you didn't start him in week two. You started him in week three, and he paid off for you in a big way. So regardless of whether you agree on the James Conner thing, the fact is that to your point, like, it's not just about having talented running backs, which Ingram and Dobbins and even Edwards, if any one of them were the starter,
he's a good player, yeah.
Is a good player. It's about knowing when to start him, because J.K. Dobbins had a great fantasy week one,
right?
But no one started him because
seven carries, 22 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Well, yeah. But it was a great fantasy.
No,
day.
I'm just saying.
You'd have been happy. You'd have been happy if you started him that day.
Of course, yeah.
So that's the problem here, is knowing, failing some sort of massive thing where Coach Harbaugh comes out and says, like, this guy is our guy.
It's going to be really hard to start him.
Or an injury, which we're never rooting for, an injury to one of these guys. I think this backfield is just a mess. And for as explosive an offense as the Ravens is, field, it really comes down to 3 guys.
Right. And I would just say one more scenario where it could work in your favor is when they have a bloodbath week, right? Where they just destroy a team. Like, they could, I'm sorry, not trying to be unkind, but like, they could put up 45 points this week and
easily
each of those 2 running backs. Let's focus on the 2, because I think Gus Edwards is a nice player, but not a fantasy asset. Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins both find the end zone. The problem is that I don't know that we're expecting them to run through every opponent like they could very well Washington this week. Let's move forward, because there are some other concerning nights last night. Mark Andrews gave you 3 catches on 8 targets for 22 yards, had a couple opportunities in the end zone on a play that I think Mark Andrews has to make, as was evidenced, or was echoed, I should say, by Brian Greasy and I think Lewis Riddick as well on the broadcast. And then Hollywood Brown, 2 catches on 6 targets for 13 yards. Just brutal. But the good news is Hollywood Brown's getting at least 6 targets in all 3 games so far this season. That was he had 6-plus targets in just one of his final 10 games in 2019. So volume is better for Hollywood Brown. I sure hope the touchdowns start coming, because at the end of the preseason, I was starting to think this guy was primed for a breakout year. Ravens are now 2-1. They play Washington on Sunday. The Patriots go to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. The Chiefs, they're the cream of the crop, baby. The rest of the league is like this, looking up at the mountaintop.
I just to put a wrap on the Ravens, I am hanging tough with Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews. I'm encouraged by the targets. Andrews almost had a touchdown, should have caught that ball. It was a tougher one, but that's a catch he makes. The one touchdown pass that Jackson threw went to Nick Boyle, which easily, you know, they were in a run package, you know, and Boyle's their blocking tight end, but that easily could have been Mark Andrews as well. Like, that offense runs, you know, their passing offense, especially down the middle, often runs through their tight end. So I get it. It's been tough with Andrews. He was the number one tight end in fantasy in week one. He was tight end 33 last week, tight end 34 in week 3, but I'm hanging tough with him, and I'm hanging tough with Marquise Brown. Better days are ahead for this Ravens offense, and it's going to start this Sunday against my Washington professional football team.
All right, a bunch of news to get to, and obviously more injury updates on Tuesday, as we had coaching press conferences on Monday. So Stefania, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to start here with Dallas Goedert for you, the Eagles, who have dealt with about as many injuries on offense as anybody not named the 49ers.
Yeah, yesterday we said that Dallas Goedert injured his ankle in the game, and we thought he'd be out for multiple weeks, but Jeff McClain just reporting that his left ankle is actually fractured. It's not sprained. And he said this, according to an NFL source, that he'll be out for an extended timeline, but the timeline shouldn't be too lengthy. It will depend on how he recovers. So just updating the nature of the injury, you still were going to have to plan for multiple weeks for Dallas Goedert.
Just Stefania, I know you just getting this news, and so it's just sort of like, you know, you haven't been able to sift through it, and you always want to check with your sources. So it also depends on like how fractured, right? But I'm just curious, when you hear this news and you say multiple weeks, we talk in 4, we talk in 8. Can you give us a time frame here? Because multiple weeks could be 2, it could be 10. So just are we thinking a month? Are we thinking longer? Just what's your initial gut reaction here?
Yeah, it's a fair question. There's just a few things to unpack here. So according to the source that McClain cited, he said the recovery time shouldn't be too lengthy. Now, normally when you hear fracture, you think takes 6 weeks for a bone to fully heal from a fracture.
Wow.
But you can get chip fractures in the ankle. Sometimes in conjunction with the sprain, you can get a tiny little fracture. So it shows up as a chip off the bone. But within a couple of weeks, it's totally fine. It's more of a comfort thing. And then you're able to play. So again, without knowing the nature of the fracture and where it is, it's hard to know whether it really is just 2 to 3 weeks or if you're talking six.
All right, we'll talk about some tight end replacements later on in waiver wire. Chris Carson, Stefania.
Also worth noting, the Eagles' bye is week 9. So no, it's going to be a while before they can, you know, sort of get right there.
So Chris Carson, as we discussed on Monday show, Stefania, was the recipient of a dirty play. The Cowboys continue to say no intent there from Tristan Hill. We can agree to disagree on that. But what's the latest on Chris Carson's recovery time?
He was fortunate because, you know, the knee just does not have any give in the direction of rotation. And normally, tissues are going to fail when you hold on to it like that and twist it. But a grade 1 sprain, according to Adam Schefter's report from the Seahawks. So that's the most mild form. And it sounds like, depending on how he looks this week, there's a chance he could even play in week 4. So stay tuned. Not a lock, but it's possible.
Okay, so we'll revisit a little bit later on in the show and waivers as well. But Carlos Hyde, the presumptive next man up in the Seahawks backfield. I'm pretty bullish on this player having a pretty good workload here. I understand what you said about Travis Homer, who did play when things got up-tempo on Sunday. I know the Seahawks defense is deplorable right now. I mean, they can't stop anybody.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to be quite as competitive an atmosphere on Sunday in Miami as it was this past Sunday against Dallas, or the Sunday before that against the Patriots, or the Sunday before that against the Falcons. Agreed?
Yeah, I agree. And they may sit here. Seattle may sit here and say, like, you know, listen, we're feeling pretty good about where we are. Our bye is in week 6. We have legitimate Super Bowl aspirations. Chris Carson's an important part of what we want to do in going forward. So you know what? We think we can get by the Dolphins with Carlos Hyde, Travis Homer, et cetera. And I forget who they play in week 5, but I want to say it's Minnesota. I could be wrong, Thirsty Kyle. Do you know who it is? But it's like, it's not a team that you go like, oh boy, they need to bring the full workload there.
Minnesota.
They're at Minnesota. So, I mean, that's a defense that obviously has struggled through 3 games of the season as well. So Seattle may take a cautious approach here with Chris Carson, especially given his history, and say, hey, you know what? Let's get through week 6. Especially, and they may see how that goes with Miami. But again, if they go to 4-0, if they beat Miami and they're 4-0 and they're sitting here going, yeah. You just got the alert I did, I think, right?
Probably. So Matt, our producer, sorry to jump in here. I'm just going to make this announcement or just sort of pass along. This comes from Schefty via the Titans. So for those who have not seen this yet, this is a statement from the Tennessee Titans. After multiple positive COVID tests within their organization, the team is halting in-person work today and made this announcement. Out of an abundance of caution, the organization has decided to work remotely today as we follow NFL protocols related to the COVID-19 virus. Several tests have come back positive and are working through the process of confirming them. We'll have more information tomorrow. I don't know there's much to do with this right now. I will just maybe turn to Stefania and just sort of refresh people on if we have any idea what the next steps would be here and what kind of flags this might raise for you.
Well, this is the first of its kind in that we're in season with multiple tests reported, and I haven't seen the exact tweet, so I don't know if it's players or personnel. Maybe they're just leaving it generic for now. But the standard practice then would be to follow up to confirm the test, but in the meantime, to isolate. So the main thing they want to do, and they have said this from before the season started, to mitigate risk is to stop spread. So anyone who tested positive, assuming it was before they got to the facility, would not have been allowed in. If they were there, they would then be isolated and sent home and monitored with subsequent follow-up. So for now, we stay and watch, but this is the first time we're having something like this, obviously, in the regular season.
I'll pass along that it does sound like the Vikings, out of an abundance of caution themselves, will suspend in-person activities today. They, of course, played the Titans this past week, but the positives have all been registered from the Titans organization, not just passing this all along. We have a lot to unpack here, and it probably will take us a couple of days to know what the actual fallout is of this. I don't want to get too far into, hey, you know, start replacing Derrick Henry in your lineup this weekend. As Diana Rossini noted, there has been no decision yet on whether the Titans game with the Steelers this Sunday would be impacted by this. Chalk this up to us getting information in live time and owning up to the fact that we need a little bit more time to understand the exact.
Well, hopefully we will have some more information on this, even if the information is what the possibilities are. A lot of range of outcomes here. But I will say, just because this is the last time we're going to get to talk to people, Field, before waivers runs tonight in most leagues.
Yeah.
And so I would say that this is a news story that is worth watching, because if there's a chance, I'm not even saying it will, but if there is a chance that the Titans game on Sunday could be postponed as a result of this, I do think, listen, am I trying to find a Derrick Henry replacement with Carlos Hyde? You know what I mean? Like, but I'm just saying, like, I would be looking at my waiver wire and thinking to myself, like, if I don't have a Titan available to me this Sunday, what am I going to do? I don't think that's within the range of possibilities. And we don't know that it is. I want to be very clear.
Well, the other thing is I would say watch the transaction wire, because there is the reserve COVID-19 list. So anyone who would get added to that list, even if it's in the process of investigation while they're pursuing testing, then fantasy players should go ahead and make plans, even if that person ultimately gets removed.
So, all right, so much. Let's leave it here. A lot more information to come on this story. Would encourage everybody to follow along with it in real time as best you can. On Wednesday's show, we'll have as much of an update as we can provide for you, and if there is a fantasy spin, we'll dive into it. A bit more news here. Tariq Cohen confirmed that the Bears confirmed that Tariq Cohen's ACL has been torn. They also confirmed, and so Stefania, I mean, I don't want to dive too deep into that, not out of a disrespect to Tariq Cohen, but you know, he's out for the year, and fortunately we've seen a good level of return from players from this injury. It's been something that NFL athletes have proven they are, you know, tremendous enough to come back and be as strong as ever.
Right. You never take it for granted. The other thing that I would point out, though, is unusual is we see this non-contact most of the time, right? A guy goes down, he grabs his knee, and then that's it. But Tariq Cohen was getting ready to return a punt and got rolled into by Brian Hill of the Falcons. So a little bit different sometimes, not always, but sometimes that can mean a little bit more damage. So again, after he has surgery, we'll know a little bit more. But for fantasy purposes, done for the year.
All right. Nick Foles, by the way, is taking over as the Bears starter for Week 4. And Matt Nagy said, this is not just for Week 4, and then we'll just, you know, reevaluate on Sunday night. No, this is going forward. Nick Foles is now the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And I got to tell you, Matthew, if you roster Allen Robinson, you're waking up with a smile this morning. And I get it. It's not that Allen Robinson has been unable to produce with bad quarterbacks, because he has played with lots of bad quarterbacks in his career, or quarterbacks that are less than effective, I should say. But this is good news. He seemed to have a connection with Nick Foles on Sunday in a short period of time. He had 4 catches on 6 targets for 54 yards and a touchdown. I just think Nick Foles is a better player than Mitch Trubisky. If you're a wide receiver, I prefer your outlook when you have a better quarterback than an inferior quarterback.
Hashtag analysis. I agree with you. And by the way, look, the schedule isn't great, but it's not daunting. Like, So they play the Colts at home this week, you know, decent matchup, you know, like, I mean, like, Colts have played good defense, but and then Tampa Bay at home. So those are like sort of middle of the road matchups. I think Tampa is actually a pretty good defense, but then at Carolina, okay, good. At the Rams, a little bit tough. So it's like sort of a middle of the road, you know, not a bunch of cakewalks other than maybe Carolina, but not a lot of ones where they're not on the road at Pittsburgh either. So, you know, I think this is ultimately a positive for the Bears offense as a whole. I don't know that anyone was rostering Trubisky, even in the deepest of leagues. But, you know, maybe Anthony Miller, who caught a touchdown from Foles on Sunday, maybe he starts coming around and getting more run. He was somebody that we liked in the preseason a lot. We like his talent. And could the ghost of Jimmy Graham come back and gallop into fantasy lineups once again?
I mean, Jimmy Graham's had 2 touchdowns in 3 games. So,
I mean,
not that crazy of a thought.
No,
all right.
He's had 1 better week than Mark Andrews. I mean, you know, it's crazy town.
Truly Lemonade is a refreshing mix of lemonade and heart seltzer that is perfect for game day. If life or your fantasy lineup gives you lemons, make lemonade. Maybe even win your matchup with a surprise standout and keep the good times going with Truly. Bring the flavor to game day as only you can. We'll keep it light, crisp, and crushable. Truly Lemonade comes in 4 refreshing flavors: original, strawberry, mango, and black cherry. Yum. Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly.
Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? Well, that's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more.
So it's time now for some big name updates, and we're going to get to Stefania in just a moment. But smart trade decisions is informed by IBM Watson. I thought this was really interesting. Michael Thomas, who of course has missed the past 2 weeks, was the consensus number one wide receiver in fantasy coming into the season. He was the first non-running back off the board, and here's what happens when you get hurt. People start come calling. Michael Thomas was the most common player in week three trade proposals per IBM Watson, with over 200,000 trade proposals. Now, of course, the vast, and I mean overwhelmingly vast majority of those proposals were turned down, and in part because, Stefania, maybe people are banking on Michael Thomas returning soon. What do you think?
Well, it sounds, Field, like Michael Thomas could come back in week four. Now, he hasn't practiced at all, but he was doing individual workouts late last week and reportedly looking good. And I think the Saints are encouraged. Remember, there was a discussion about putting him on injured reserve, which would have forced him to miss three games. He lobbied hard not to go on that. This would be the third week. So if he can go and practice this week and not have a setback and the ankle feels comfortable and he looks good, then I would expect that Michael Thomas will make his return in week four.
I feel a little bit bad for teams because people are, what's going to happen is there are going to be occasions where a player has an injury that might cost him one or two games. It might end up costing him three or four games, and people are going to clamor, why didn't you put the guy on IR?
Well, it's already happened.
Yeah, it's like, Stefania, it's so unfair to the teams for me. Like, we don't know how long these things could last. You may not need the roster spot. We have roster flexibility this year, but I digress. Devontae Adams missed week three. I noted yesterday, he was really close, right? I mean, he was doubtful,
very close.
But he was very close. Now they have an extra day to prepare because they play the Falcons on Monday Night Football on ESPN, of course. We don't have drops on it, but I am a company man. Just kidding.
See?
We do have drops out of nowhere. Let's go. Lisa for the win
Lisa.
In the production room.
Wow.
So, Stefania, do we think Devontae could return on Monday night?
I think so. I mean, this was an injury that was not believed to be serious. We talked about it last week that he lobbied to go back into the game in week two when he was hurt, but they held him out for an abundance of caution and then kept him out for this week's game when I think he was eager to try and push it. Obviously, being smart, Green Bay, very solid medical staff, and tends to be a little bit more conservative with the big picture in mind. So I think all the encouraging bits that we heard suggest that he could be ready for Monday night.
By the way, abundance of caution feels like the new, I hope this email finds
the term
well.
Du jour.
It's one of those 2020 yeah. terms that has been overused. We've jumped
Stay
the
safe.
Shark.
Oh, wow. I get that it's been overused after I say it.
Oh, yeah. all those 2020
terms. Field just gave
like,
me a...
Yeah, yeah. You know... Hope you're well, staying safe, you know.
Abundance of caution.
How are you handling all this?
Yeah. Okay, I'm not self-conscious or
how
anything.
How are you doing?
No, Stefania.
I won't use it again.
No. This is not, it's more of a general observation. This is a Stefania observation.
No, absolutely.
Good news, though, sounds like, okay, good news on Devontae Adams, all things considered there. Let's play a game of panic or patience because this is sort of continuing or maybe getting to names that we didn't quite have the time to get to on Monday's show. And these are players that are stars and they have not played like stars recently. And in the cases of some, you might be ready to drop them, Matthew. But Odell Beckham Jr. in week two had the touchdown and we all went crazy. It was great. Odell caught a touchdown. That was awesome. And by the way, just an update here. The Vikings have now also suspended in-person activities. So as you suspect, it could be the case, but they've done so officially. Back to Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham had a nice week two. Not a great week two, but a nice week two. And in week three, he had four catches for 59 yards and 9.9 fantasy points. It's been a long time that we've been waiting for this Odell Beckham Jr. breakout. Matthew, panic or patience on Odell?
Panic.
Okay. How panicked are you? Panicked to the point that you are considering dropping him? Panicked to the point that you might be flexing him? Might be dropping him to your bench? How panicked are you?
I am panicked in that I am hoping that someone will trade for him from me and give me relatively market value. I'm not dropping him.
What's market value now?
I think wide receiver two is market value. I think he's still perceived that way. Wow. He isn't.
If you could get wide receiver two, I would sprint.
Tyreek Hill. Even wide receiver three. Here's my concern here on Odell Beckham Jr., right? I mean, right. So you see he's, you know, wide receiver 44 last week. Right? The concern with Odell Beckham Jr. here is that this offense has become very run heavy. They have a 50.3% rush rate. That's second highest in the NFL. Between Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, they are running the ball very effectively. And by the way,
the option is if they don't run the ball, they have to let Baker throw it.
I know.
And that has been a challenge. I mean, I'm not trying to beat up on Baker Mayfield, but he has been, to be kind, inconsistent inaccurate.
It's a good point that they have been run heavy. Mike Clay has also noted they've played two games back-to-back weeks where they've controlled the game, right? And
that's right.
He's a little bit nervous about Nick Chubb, is Mike. And you think this weekend could be a week where it actually is a pass-heavy weekend. They play the Cowboys in Dallas, and Dallas can't stop anybody, but they can throw it. That much is for sure. So I hear you out on that. I just don't know that Cleveland will be as run-heavy going forward as they were in the past 2 weeks, unless they're much better than I'm giving them credit for right now.
No, I understand that. I mean, the game script has worked certainly in their favor, but the fact is that, okay, so you have Beckham, but you also have Landry. You've got the tight ends. They're using Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's touchdown.
He's their best wide receiver right now.
I mean, right? I mean, Kareem Hunt went out wide, and like he ran a wide receiver route. That touchdown wasn't a pass out of the backfield. Kareem Hunt was on the line of scrimmage on that touchdown play. And so for me, you asked me panic or patience, and yes, I am panicked on Odell Beckham Jr. in the sense of, like, I drafted him to be one of my two starting wide receivers. I drafted him with the idea that his upside, his range of outcomes includes best wide receiver in fantasy football. And so far, he has been anything but. And my concern is less about Beckham and more about the nature of how the offense has gone so far. Mm-hmm. And the nature of his quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm panicked, by the way, on his teammate, Jarvis Landry, of course, his very close friend and his Cleveland Browns teammate after being his LSU teammate, who had four catches on four targets last week for 36 yards. He's got four catches on average through three games so far this season. The old sort of saying on Jarvis Landry, I think I might have coined it myself, was that he wakes up, rolls out of bed, and has 80 catches in a season. Right now, he's on pace for 64. And he has just one touchdown catch in his past eight games. So I'm panicked as well. Yeah. Now, I like both of these players. They're definitely talented dudes. Here's where I think the strategy play might be here.
Okay.
Is that, so they've been down these past 3 weeks, right? They've been down for the players of their ilk. On Sunday, they play the Cowboys. So maybe what we believe, what the reality is for the Browns is somewhere in between what you were talking about and maybe what I've been sort of suggesting and Mike Clay hinted at as well. If they play the Cowboys on Sunday, it's a shootout. Hold on. Yep. If they play the Cowboys on Sunday, it's a shootout. And it's like a 37-35 game, and Odell and Jarvis Landry, or one of the two of them, finds the end zone, has a 80 yards plus a touchdown game. Maybe you use the sell high idea, because you just talked about how Patrick Mahomes, we might just overthink it after one game last night. Maybe that's the play here with the Browns, because Landry, if he level sets eventually, maybe I'll feel better about it, because he's kind of done this for a larger period of time, longer period of time with Beckham, and you didn't pay with Baker, you didn't pay as much. But with Odell, it might be one good game, and then you're cashing out there, because I just don't know that he'll ever get to that level we expected him to be at. And I was one who thought he could have a monster year this year.
Sure, of course. I mean, the concern here is that even if they're pass heavy, right? I mean, like, Beckham's got five catches or under in five straight games.
I know.
Like,
brutal.
It's also the volume. And by the way, I mean, even when he's getting targets, can Baker get him the ball? I mean, Baker has really struggled with accuracy. You think about, like, here's our upcoming schedule, right? So at Dallas, home to the Colts, at Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati. You know, so, okay, Cincinnati, we saw what happened. Like, they
like
went run heavy, right?
Matchups.
But you think about at Pittsburgh, and you're like, okay, well, that's a game where they should be trailing, right? Okay, but then that's also a game where the Steelers are going to be blitzing a lot. They're one of the blitz heaviest teams in the NFL, and Baker is bad under pressure. Like, his accuracy numbers when he's under pressure are really bad. And so, you know, and can the Colts get to him? I hear you on the Cowboys, and that should be a shootout in theory, but even when they're trailing, is it definitely all Beckham, or is it going to be a lot of dump offs to Kareem Hunt?
Yeah.
By the way, are you trying to sell high on Nick Chubb based on all this?
I would consider it.
Yeah.
I would. I would consider it for sure.
I don't mind that.
Hold on to Kareem Hunt, though. He might be the most valuable Brown based off where he was drafted. T.Y. Hilton, panic your patience here. Three catches for 52 yards this past week. Of course, you got the pep talk from Grandma. Didn't quite work out. He's got just 10 catches for this season. If you say anything other than panic, I think you are wrong.
No, I was going to say panic, 100%. Panic.
Yeah.
So the dynasty league that we're in, that me and you and Thirsty Kyle are in, like, I've suffered a bunch of injuries. Christian McCaffrey's the centerpiece of that team. I do have Mike Davis on that team, but still, it's T.Y. Hilton is like on that team, and I'm, you know, hopefully not everyone in the league listens to this podcast, but yeah, I'm open for business.
Okay.
Like, you know, and in that dynasty league, I want out of the T.Y. Hilton business. It's the only league I have Hilton in. I'm nervous, like, because even with the injury to
Paris Campbell,
to Paris Campbell, and we didn't get to it in this defining section, Pittman. But Michael Pittman hurt as well. So in theory, he should be getting a lot of targets, but I think it's going to be a run-heavy offense. I think they go more two tight end sets, and I just think Hilton, he's going to have some big games from here until the end of the season, but do we think we can count on him for consistent fantasy production in a Phillip Rivers-led offense? I'm not sure.
Stefania, Matthew just mentioned it, so can you give us the update on Michael Pittman Jr., their second-round pick out of USC?
Yeah, this is actually an interesting scenario. So I think I've seen that he had calf surgery, but it's really something far more specific. He had what is called acute compartment syndrome, and it's a medical emergency, and it's not totally uncommon in the NFL. If you have an injury where you have some bleeding in an area like the lower leg, there are muscle compartments, meaning you have muscles and nerves contained in one area by a thin membrane of tissue. So it doesn't allow for a lot of swelling. And if you have swelling that happens rapidly and starts putting too much pressure on those muscles and nerves in the area, and the blood flow cannot be maintained, you run the risk of tissue death. And that's why it's a medical emergency. So you get to the hospital and they do a procedure called a fasciotomy where they release that fascia and it immediately takes the pressure off. It sounds drastic and it is in the sense of time, but it's something that you can recover from fully. I don't know if Field will remember this, but Matthew probably will, but Hakeem Nicks back in 2010 had a similar injury and he was out for 2 weeks. They projected 2 to 3 weeks. He was back in two, but we've seen other players miss up to 6 to 8 weeks. So it really depends. Sounds like they got it very quickly, which is the positive here. And it really depends on how he specifically recovers, but multiple weeks in any regard.
Okay, so the Colts are thin at wide receiver. Let's move forward to Todd Gurley, who had 80 rushing yards, a touchdown, plus a catch, and 2 yards in week three. And you're probably saying to yourself, that sounds okay to me, right? But are you panicking or patient here, Matthew? Because it just doesn't look right. Yeah, it doesn't look right. There's another layer to this.
I want out of the Todd Gurley business.
Mm-hmm.
If I have Todd Gurley in a league, and I do in one or two, like, I'm going to explore trade options for him, and I'm not going to just give him away. But there's some real concerns here. We think about how pass-heavy this Falcons offense has been, right? Crazy pass-heavy. Todd Gurley has 3 receptions on the year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
3.
It's wild, yeah.
I mean, this is one of the most pass-heavy teams in the NFL, and Todd Gurley has literally 3 receptions for 3 yards. 3 receptions for 3 yards. He's currently running back 32 on the season. He's averaging 1.3 yards per carry after contact. That is 31st out of 35 qualified running backs, and it's down 26% from last season. He has 7 targets this season. And by the way, he's splitting time with Brian Hill.
That's the part that's most concerning to me, is that he had – so Brian Hill had 9 carries in week 3 for 58 yards. And I get it. The Falcons' problem – it's not the offense right now. It's the defense. It's the execution in critical moments. It's special teams. But if you're 0-3, you'll try anything. If you're desperate, you will try anything. So I file this one under monitoring. I think Brian Hill is actually an okay speculative ad on the waiver wire tonight.
I agree.
It's monitoring, right? Because, you know, Todd Gurley doesn't figure to fade entirely from this backfield. But if it becomes anything close to a 50-50 split, a player with a lack of explosive ability right now and a lack of a passing game role right now could move from basically an RB2 to more likely a low-end flex play.
The preseason argument for Todd Gurley was, listen, they're going to use him in the passing game. Look at how many targets Devontae Freeman got. And it's going to be tremendous volume, right? He's on this one-year prove-it deal, and they don't really have anyone else in the backfield. Like, those were the two big arguments for Todd Gurley. Well, he's not getting the volume so far because he's splitting time with Brian Hill, and he's not getting the passing game work. So, you've been bailed out a couple of games here because he's fallen into the end zone, but ultimately, I'm just saying, while his value is still high, while that you have the touchdowns to sort of point to and the fantasy point totals look high, if I have Todd Gurley on my team, I am exploring options to try to trade him for, you know, running back 2-ish value. I am just saying, personally saying, I want out of the Todd Gurley business. You know, if there is a positive here, they do play Carolina twice in the next 5 weeks.
One thing that's a reality of all the injuries that took place in week 2 and other injuries as well is that you've got a lot of players on your bench right now, and not all of them are in IR slots, but maybe some of them are, your bench just feels thinner because there are guys you're holding on to because you feel like, you know, hey, it might be 1 or 2 weeks. Or Raheem Mostert, for example, yeah. right? He doesn't go on IR until he's declared out for the week. And that, you know, so you got in-week roster management that you don't have as much flexibility. So you have to find players that you actually can drop. So let's reintroduce Dumpsville and have a conversation about a certain quarterback, Matthew.
Welcome to Dumpsville, Population U. And right. so who are we putting in Dumpsville today, Field Minister Yates?
How about Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
He's rostered in 70% of leagues. He's quarterback 22. The Eagles have all, they have a rash of pass catcher injuries. Fanya told us earlier on, now Dallas Goddard's going to miss probably multiple weeks, maybe even closer to, who knows, a month or 6 weeks, who knows. They play at San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, home to Baltimore, and maybe Baltimore is not quite as formidable of a challenge based off what we saw last night. I still think they're pretty good. But
Carson Wentz ain't Patrick Mahomes.
That's right. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not close, and their pass catchers are not close to what the Chiefs have as well. I'm surprised he's rostered in this many leagues.
I don't know how you would start him with any level of confidence, especially, again, at San Francisco. And I get it, their defense is somewhat beat up, but still, on the road at San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, home to Baltimore. I'm not sure I need to say more than that, but to your point about, you know, I mean, no Jalen Reagor. DeSean Jackson left the game last week as well. I mean, it is Greg Ward. It's, you know, I mean, it really is. It's Greg Ward. It's Zach Ertz. It's, they're going to go probably more run heavy here. It's good news if you have Miles Sanders, I suppose. But yeah, Carson Wentz just doesn't look right. On WIP radio yesterday, Doug Peterson said that they are not considering benching Carson Wentz. And I don't think that's a surprise, but the fact that the question had to be asked, Field, the fact that it was even a question that Doug Peterson had to address should tell you how low Carson Wentz's stock is these days.
I feel you on that. I want to add one last note on the Titans and the Vikings before we get into the waiver wire, because we have an important day on the waiver wire, and this might actually impact things. The Titans, according to Diana Rossini, will not be allowed into their building until Saturday.
Wow.
Saturday. So if the NFL plays the game between the Titans and the Steelers on Sunday as scheduled, and I believe the game is in Tennessee, don't know for a fact, then just keep that in mind, is that like their preparation could literally, it's in Tennessee, so they're not traveling. Yep. Their preparation could literally be done all remotely this week. There are a lot of tentacles here. I'm just passing this along in real time. You know, I suppose one hypothetical, as I start to imagine things, is that do they move it to Tuesday?
I was just going to say, well, we've seen that before, like with snow games and stuff like that. Snowstorms.
Yes.
Could be moved to Tuesday, and that would give them enough. Like, if you think Saturday, Sunday, Monday, that's basically the same kind of week as a Thursday night game, right? The same kind of prep time.
Right. So, and we would have, trust me, our app team would work incredibly hard to make sure that, like, we would, if you're wondering, would the Tuesday points count towards week four? Yes, we'll figure all that out at a later time. Let's get into the waiver wire, though, and I'm not going to ignore the Titans and Vikings for right now, but understanding there's more nuance, we'll get more information there.
But what we are encouraging everyone to do is pay attention to the news. Follow at Field Yates on Twitter. Follow me at Matthew Berry TMR. Follow at Adam Schefter if you aren't for some reason already. And all of our newsbreakers here at ESPN, at Mike Clay NFL. We will be talking at Stefania_ESPN. We will be talking about this for the rest of, I'm sure, the week, but certainly prior to waivers tonight. Wait to the last minute if you can to put in your waivers now. But Field Minister Yates, you are, in fact, the author of our free agent finds column, our waiver wire column. And, who starts us off at running back if you need one? And chances are you might.
You probably do. It's Miles Gaskin for the Dolphins. He's available about 44% of leagues. He had 22 carries for 66 yards and 5 catches last week for 29 yards. Good for an RB21 finish. Miles Gaskin looks like the guy in the Dolphins' backfield right now. And Matthew, Lemons into Lemonade is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, and a story we discussed earlier on is Chris Carson, who is going to potentially miss some time for the Seattle Seahawks, and I mentioned the name Carlos Hyde, who's available in over 90% of leagues. The upcoming schedule for the Seahawks is at Miami, home to Minnesota. They go into their bye, so if Carson does miss time, as we discussed, it could be sort of logical that he returns after the bye. And Carlos had over 1,000 rushing yards last year, quietly, and it was an effective year for the Texans. He's not a huge pass catcher. Certainly, Travis Homer will have some run there, and maybe Chris Carson's a fast healer. But if you need someone, I do think there is a case that Carlos Hyde could have the most value in week four amongst waiver wire running backs this week. Good matchup. Every matchup's a good matchup for Seattle. The chance for, if he has 45 rushing yards, he could have 45 rushing yards and two rushing touchdowns, both from 1 yard out, right?
He certainly easily could. I mean, even in a game in which the Jaguars were getting blown out, James Robinson had a massive game against the same Miami Dolphins team. And so, to your point, I mean, the Seahawks seem unstoppable right now offensively. And so, they're going to get in close. Do they give one or two to Carlos Hyde? I agree with you, Field. And again, they also play Minnesota the following week until their bye. So if Chris Carson is out until week seven, Carlos Hyde could have a lot of value for the next 2 weeks.
Jeff Wilson Jr. for the 49ers could be called upon. We don't have enough time to go through the entire 49ers injury report on any podcast, but especially now with all of the injuries they have. Jerick McKinnon is considered day-to-day, according to Kyle Shanahan, along with Raheem Mostert. Well, they give him more information on Mostert later on Wednesday, is what Kyle Shanahan suggested to the media yesterday. But Jeff Wilson Jr. will be the next man up. We don't know whether he'll be pressed into action or not, but this is a just-in-case waiver wire addition. Let me get you to a couple of wide receivers. I do want to show these all on a touchscreen in just a little moment here. Justin Jefferson for the Vikings. And again, the news on the Vikings, as we have stated earlier, they are going to shut down their facility right now. Again, this is a cautionary move by them as multiple Titans players and staffers tested positive for COVID-19. The Titans played in Minnesota against the Vikings this past Sunday, but Justin Jefferson looked great in that game for the Vikings. Their first-round pick had 7 catches for 175 yards plus a touchdown, good for 30.5 fantasy points. He's available in about two-thirds of leagues. One more name here is Corey Davis for the Titans, 47.2% rostered. Titans again, I just gave it the update on the Vikings. The other half of that coin is the Titans, and he's been good. He's got double-digit fantasy points in all three games so far this season. Volume has been pretty steady. He had a touchdown in week two, so I like Corey Davis as just sort of a, you know, he's not going to hurt. He's a smart player to have on your bench right now for wide receiver depth. The talent is unquestionably there, and maybe I'll give you just one more name before we get to, I'm going to rank these players eventually. Is T. Higgins for the Bengals. It's kind of a fun sort of speculative, like, I think this is a player that has more talent and opportunity ahead of him. He may not make his way into your lineup this week or next or the week after that, but if you are searching around for options to pad your roster depth, T. Higgins, you could do much worse than.
It's going to be a pass-heavy offense there in Cincinnati. He's a talented guy. The fact that John Ross was a healthy scratch. Look, their three wide sets is going to be Boyd in the slot, A.J. Green, and T. Higgins on either side. I absolutely love T. Higgins in Dynasty.
Agreed on that. If you're missing the fun of the ballpark right now, you're not alone. But just because you can't be in the stadium doesn't mean you can't bring that classic ballpark feeling home. And the best way to do that is with Ballpark Buns and Rolls. Ballpark and the ballpark go together, like baseball in summer. They're an American pastime and America's favorite buns and rolls. They're an essential part of celebrations big and small. There's nothing worse than your bun breaking under that pressure. Guess what? Ballpark buns and rolls never fall apart. They're always freshly baked, always soft, and always delicious. Ballpark buns and rolls are a great way to get a carefree taste of summer any time of the year. Whether shared at a backyard barbecue, fall tailgate, or any manner of celebration year-round, you can't help but enjoy yourself when enjoying a ballpark bun creation. So next time you're picking up essentials for grilling, tailgating, a little slow cooker action, or a nostalgic night in, make sure you grab ballpark buns and rolls. Find them wherever you grocery shop.
Shell knows that between every tee-up, layup, and batter-up that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with a fuel rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And then finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Oh, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
All right, so we're going to do something a little bit different here. This is cool. We actually have a touchscreen available now. So for those of you listening on the audio, we'll give you the rundown in a version, an audio version form. And for those of you watching the video, you can see me with my handy-dandy Apple iPad so I can move players up to the screen. So obviously, every week we talk about a lot of names on the waiver wire. Yes, and I always tell people that it's not one size fits all for what your needs are. If you have
right.
a more pressing need, if you roster Chris Carson, the waiver wire out of the week may be unquestionably Carlos Hyde. But if you're looking for a long-term need, it may be somebody different. I get it. Everybody has different needs. But you know what? I'm going to try my best to give you my top five waiver wire ads in the order in which I would consider adding them, using then these 10 names right here.
Okay.
You may not agree, but that's okay. Yep.
Fair enough.
I'm going to start with Greg Ward for the Philadelphia Eagles because they are down to the thinnest of wide receiver rooms, maybe in the NFL right now, other than a few other teams. They're just so banged up. And you know what it is, Matthew, is I get it. Maybe DeSean Jackson returns this week. Maybe Alshon Jeffrey plays in the next couple of weeks. But, Matthew, this happened last year. And Greg Ward, he just stuck around. He had 11 targets in week three, did Greg Ward. I think he's a player that in a room where there's very few players that Carson Wentz has consistently been able to find chemistry with, he seemed to have some chemistry with Carson Wentz. So a name to keep in mind for those looking for wide receiver depth.
You know what team he played for in the AAF?
He was with Houston.
Nope. I believe he was a San Antonio Commander.
San Antonio Commander. Nice. Okay.
Mr. Kyle will correct me on that, but I believe he was a San Antonio Commander, Greg Ward Jr. And I agree with your statement there. I see you've got Corey Davis at number four.
Corey Davis comes in at number four. It's nothing juicy here, right? I just think that A.J. Brown continues to be an injury problem. It sounds like it could be a while on A.J. Brown. And there are going to be players that are going to oscillate back and forth as we look through whether or not, like, you know, their value is going to be dependent upon injuries and things like that. But Corey Davis might have like 6, 7, 8 weeks of total value by the time it's all said and done. And given the offense he plays and the quarterback play, it's possible that even when A.J. Brown does return, Corey Davis could have value, as we saw in week one. So Corey Davis, number four for me on this list. Number three is Justin Jefferson. And I'm pretty excited about Justin Jefferson, player that has plenty of talent. The Vikings need to be much better offensively, but they finally found something in their wide receiver two opposite of Adam Thielen after Mike Zimmer, their head coach, kind of suggested, we might need this, right? I mean, we might need Justin Jefferson to get going more in week three. He delivered in a major way.
And by the way, you love the matchup with the Texans, a defense that has struggled as well. I mean, they should be able to keep the momentum going against Houston.
Fun fact, all three head coaches in Houston Texans history will be coaching in the same game on Sunday. Vikings, Texans, Bill O'Brien, Gary Kubiak, and also Dom Capers. Number two, Carlos Hyde. Seattle Seahawks running back. Again, we don't know specifically what will happen. If we will see Chris Carson as soon as this week, it's possible. It's not a guarantee, but it certainly sounds like Carlos Hyde could be in the mix for the Seattle Seahawks in week four and maybe week five. As Matthew mentioned, they have that week six bye. So maybe 2 weeks of utility here for Carlos Hyde. And many people have been hurt badly at the running back spot because of all the injuries around the NFL.
And I'll just say quickly here, because I get this question a lot on social media. If you don't have Chris Carson,
go
even
grab
if you
him.
Don't need, and even if you don't need a running back, somebody does.
That's right.
Sometimes the best defense is a good offense. If I was higher on a waiver priority and I was playing the person that had Chris Carson in my league, I would absolutely pick up Carlos Hyde. It is completely fair and legitimate.
The final name here is Myles Gaskin. We talked about him just a moment ago for the Dolphins. He seems to be the only starting running back that is like truly legitimately the starting running back, and it looks obvious he's going to stay that way for his team right now. That is not rostered in over 50% of leagues. I don't know this is going to be a weekly top 15 play at any point, but I think that Myles Gaskin will be a weekly top 25 or so consideration, a guy who's got some pass-catching ability, and the Dolphins might find themselves in a few shootouts. That could certainly be an important part of his game going forward.
And he's a young player, and as they're in the rebuilding process, you know, like, this is a guy they need to evaluate. The only ding in his game is he gets pulled at the goal line for Jordan Howard, but they gave him a little bit of, you know, goal-to-go run in the last game, and hopefully as they trust him more in those situations, his role only expands. I agree with you. Gaskin is the clear-cut number one. Thirsty Kyle, time for trivia. What do we got?
It's that time of the day. I want you to name for me the two Hall of Famers that have opened a season with 150 rushing yards and 250 receiving yards through week three. The basis for this question, obviously, Alvin Kamara has done as much this season. Again, that's 150 rushing yards, 250 receiving yards through the first 3 weeks of a season. I need two Hall of Famers.
Already in the Hall of Fame, not going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
So, gotcha. Are there more than two that have done this or no?
Just the two Hall of Famers. There's a handful of people that have done it, but only two in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Trivia is brought to us by Geico.
Trivia is brought to you by Geico. Is brought to us by Geico. We appreciate their support of the podcast in many ways. Who wants to go first? You want to guess, Matthew?
Sure. I'm bad on who's in the Hall of Fame and who's about to be, but I think these guys both are.
Okay.
I certainly know they will. I have LaDainian Tomlinson and Marshall Faulk. Ooh, are my are my guesses.
I have LaDainian Tomlinson and Marshall Faulk as well.
I have a different answer.
I think Stefan is going to be right. Let me know. Did you guess a 49er?
No. I have LaDainian Tomlinson and Emmitt Smith.
Okay, if we're wrong. Ooh, if we're wrong here, I feel like Roger Craig could be a sleepy answer if we're wrong. But what do you got, Kyle? What is the correct
Roger
answer?
Roger Craig is not right. Matthew and Field both get one with Marshall Faulk. Thurman Thomas.
Oh my gosh, I got zero. Thurman Thomas.
By the way, Thurman Thomas, the first member of the Oklahoma State football Ring of Fame. The great Thurman Thomas. Love Thurman Thomas. A lot of good running backs out of
I did a fan when I first got to ESPN in 2008, we did a fantasy football event with Thurman Thomas at a bar in New York City. Awesome dude. Awesome dude.
You think he remembers that or no?
No, and he didn't know a ton about fantasy football.
Okay.
But he was Thurman Thomas.
Okay.
You know, he took pictures.
He's a legend.
And he's a legend. He was great.
He's a legend. He's a Geico trivia answer as well. A reminder, we'll have much more on this developing story between the Vikings and the Titans. Multiple Titans players and staffers have tested positive for COVID-19. The two teams have shut down their facilities for the time being. For Matthew and Stefania and Kyle, I'm Field. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Rankings and much more.
New episode of The Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus is out. Go check it out. Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.